Now, there are two very good reasons to visit Lipnice, which is around 60 kilometres southeast of Prague. It's dominated by a romantic castle that's a favourite setting for international filmmakers. And it was also the last home of Jaroslav Hašek, the author of The Good Soldier Švejk, the most translated novel by any Czech writer. Vít Bohánka has been there and prepared this report.
It's a little bit like a trip back in history. I'm walking around the courtyard full of men in medieval mail armor. Some are practicing fighting positions, sword in one hand and shield in the other, their helmets glistening in the sun. Obviously, they are getting ready for a battle. But then I spot one of them checking something on his smartphone, another with an iPad in his hands. And that brings me back to the 21st century. Yes, they are just reenactors, so-called extras in a new season of an American TV history fantasy series. It is so famous and popular that before I was even allowed anywhere close to the Lipnice castle, I had to promise not to divulge the name of the series. This place is very popular with international filmmakers for its authentic yet romantic look that it managed to preserve over the centuries, even though the castle was owned by many different aristocratic families. Marek Hanzlík is the castellan, or manager, appointed by the Czech National Heritage Institute.
Tak od začátku to byli zejména páni z Lichtenburka, kteří zakládali tento hrad na počátku.
First there was the House of Lichtenburg, who actually founded this castle at the beginning of the 14th century. One of them, Raymond of Lichtenburg, was the royal chamberlain at that time, and that was one of the highest offices. He was in fact managing the king's property all over the land. As he had not had a castle of his own, he decided to build this one. While building it, Raymond got into some financial problems, as often happened and still happens with construction projects of this size. So he had to sell the unfinished castle to his king, John of Luxembourg, also known in Western Europe as John of Bohemia. He then immediately gave this property to Henry of Lipa in exchange for the Zittau region in present-day Germany. Because King John was most of the time absent from Bohemia, fighting various wars, it was Henry of Lipa who was running the affairs of the kingdom.
But why build a castle right here, in the hilly, very thinly populated and heavily forested region on the border of the historical lands of Moravia and Bohemia?
V tom prvopočátku, když se tato krajina kolonizovala, zejména v souvislosti se stříbrnou a zlatou.
At the beginning, when this region was being colonized in the 13th century, there was a real silver and gold fever. The landlords were usually absent and they needed to build a network of fortified posts to secure their holdings that were making them wealthy. Some of these new posts developed in the new towns, but there was also a need for strategically located castles. Since there wasn't any around here, Raymond of Lichtenburg decided to build one on a rocky bump between two hills. The silver mining town of Německý Brod is nearby, and there was an important road passing through it. This is most probably why Raymond selected this place for the castle.
Of course, many construction alternations were made as the requirements for fortifications changed with new military technology. But there is one thing you can be sure of. You are still treading more or less the same courtyards and corridors that were already there at the very beginning of the castle some 7 centuries ago.
Specialisté, kteří se orientují právě na vývoj historického domu, tak
experts on historical constructions studied this place, and they say that when the builders of the castle started digging the foundations, they were already raising the outer walls where we see them today. In other words, what we have today is roughly what you saw back in the 14th century, even though the castle underwent various alterations and reconstructions. All the following changes took place within the original layout.
The castellan, Marek Hanzlík, then walks me towards a miniature model showing what the castle and its surroundings looked like at that time.
V tom středověku bylo nedílnou součástí tohoto hradu ohrazené město. Můžeme to vidět tady na tom modelu.
In the Middle Ages, a small town with defensive walls became an inseparable part of the castle. So here you can see the castle itself creating a sort of nucleus situated on the rocky higher ground. And right below is the town. It actually got town privileges from the king and Roman emperor Charles IV. One of the privileges was to build the stone walls.
Hrady v původním slova smyslu měly dvě funkce zásadní, útočištnou, to znamená, hledalo se v nich bezpečí, a to nejenom život.
Castles like Lipnice originally played two roles. First and foremost, they provided security both for people and property. That was the main reason why wealthy nobility built them in the Middle Ages as a kind of bastions of law and order. The second role was residential, but it gradually grew in importance. Lipnice Castle itself became a palatial seat of another noble family. John Rudolf Trutschka of Lipa acquired it in the late 16th century and had it rebuilt in the late Gothic style. And even though the castle burned down much later, it was reconstructed, so it survived in this style to this day.
But what was life like for the inhabitants and who actually stayed here?
V té době na samotném hradě bydlela rodina, která často nebyla jenom tedy
The castle was inhabited by one large family, meaning there could be two or three brothers and their wives and children sharing it. The castle was big enough to make this possible. This is demonstrated by a simple fact. Already then, in the late 16th century, there were 13 toilets. Castles or residential palaces of this size would normally have four or five toilets at that time. So it shows how luxurious this place was. Besides the members of the nobility, their personal servants stayed directly at the castle. There was also a military detachment, but usually at times of peace it wouldn't be very strong, usually around 10 soldiers. Of course, when there was some kind of threat, the number of armed military would multiply. Later, during the 30 Years' War, this castle was actually occupied by the Swedish army. They made it their base, and there were hundreds of them harassing the civilian population and causing a lot of trouble far and wide.
As the centuries went by, the castle changed owners many times over. With warfare becoming more and more mechanized and artillery stronger, its original defensive role was losing in importance. Rather, it became a palatial residence to show off the wealth and status of its owners. That is, until one fateful moment in the 19th century.
Dole ve městečku jednoho zářijového dne začalo hořet. Hasiči uhasili ten...
The fire started down in the town one day in September 1869. The local firemen and townspeople got it under control, thought it was put out completely, and started celebrating. But they were wrong. The fire reignited, and this time they didn't manage to get it under control. Most of the houses in the town had thatched or wooden shingle roof that burned really ferociously and high. Soon half the town was in flames, and the fire reached the wooden roof of the castle itself. It was high on the hill, and there wasn't enough water around, and the firemen didn't have any engines or even hoses, so they could do little but watch it burn. The fire lasted for 3 days. You can find entries in the local chronicles in the surrounding villages that mention how people watched the fire from the distance for hours, even brought their picnic baskets, food and drink with them. Naturally, they were fascinated by the ongoing catastrophe, so they would spend even nights watching the blazing castle.
Katastrofy fascinují, takže koukali tehdy v noci na zářící hrad.
Luckily for us, the burnt ruins of the Lipnice castle were saved by the then more and more popular lifestyle trend, tourism. It was actually the Czech Tourist Club, a venerable institution to this very day, that took over the place and made sure it was rebuilt to its former splendor. Like most other castles, Lipnice inspired legends and they were often collected and rewritten by romantic regional writers. The most popular one is about sex, violence and self-sacrifice.
V této věži žil rytíř, který měl temné choutky.
There was a knight living in the tower. He was a man of passionate and very lecherous nature. His lust made him search nearby villages for young, innocent girls. He would capture them and bring them here to the castle to ravish them. Once his lust was satisfied, he used to lock them in a room down in a dark cell beneath the tower, with the door that could be opened only from the outside, and let them die there. That was going on until one young girl managed to escape and lured him into the very cell where all her hapless predecessors had died. Once they were both in the cell, she shut the door and locked it. Thus she sacrificed herself for all the innocent girls who would have become victims of this evil knight.
Concludes the old tale, Castellan of the Lipnice Castle, Marek Hanzlík. But he wouldn't let me leave without at least mentioning a completely different kind of story whose author also found inspiration here. The best parts of The Good Soldier Schweik, a novel by writer Jaroslav Hašek, were written when he moved here after the First World War. And in case you haven't heard about this most translated Czech literary work, it is considered one of the classical anti-war novels of the 20th century. Notably, Joseph Heller, the American author of another famous novel, Catch 22, said he wouldn't have written it if he hadn't read Good Soldier Schweik. Jaroslav Hašek spent his last few years here in Lipnice. To the end of his life, he was famous not just for his writings, but also a bohemian way of life and peculiar, sometimes even a little mischievous sense of humor.
Tak například uplatil flašinetáře, aby místnímu faráři hrál pořád jednu písničku celý den pod oknama.
For example, he would pay a street organ player to play the same song over and over all day under the windows of a local priest, which was fun for Hašek, but not so much fun for the priest and his neighbors. The townspeople of Lipnice simply didn't have much understanding for his little pranks and practical jokes. Hašek's wickedness was probably not meant to insult or do any real harm. But we have to bear in mind that Lipnice is a very small provincial town and that its people weren't ready for or interested in that kind of humor. And they didn't find it funny, so Hašek soon had to stop doing that.
Be it as it may, Hašek's house stands very close to the castle and remains the second reason why people visit this charming place. It is open on weekends, but groups can arrange a special visit on a weekday if they call the local town hall. Lipnice is easily accessible by road from the main highway connecting the capital of Prague with the second biggest city, Brno. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.